Morning again, church. We're going to deviate this morning from 1 John and the I come bearing a difficult announcement this morning. I just want to jump straight to the chase that God has made it clear that my time here pastoring here at Zora is coming to an end. I'll officially be stepping down on Sunday, July 26th. It's not something I wanted to do. It's not something I've been planning to do. I need you to know that. As you know, the past couple of years have been challenging. And this winter, Dream and I and the family, we went on a 60-day sabbatical to get refreshed and reignited. Upon my return, I signed a return to ministry covenant. I showed the leadership, and I signed it along with my wife and Sam Harvey as a representative from the church, and John Avery as someone outside the church who has mentored me. He married Dream and I 15 years ago. But part of that covenant was to evaluate where I was after returning, 60 days after returning. And truthfully, I felt good coming out of the sabbatical. But after a while, I saw signs of my mental, emotional, physical, and relational fatigue taking hold. I took a good long look at where I was towards the middle of May, shortly after Mother's Day, which was right after 60 days. I tried to evaluate honestly and sought guidance for the next couple weeks. I fought against this decision. I didn't want to leave here. About 2 weeks ago, I accepted what I needed to do. There is good here at Zor right now. I say that confidently. And recently, I've not been able to lead well or lead you all well. For that, I'm sorry, but I must hold to the covenant that I made. And God has made it clear that it's time for someone else to lead His church here at Zor. I need you to know, make no mistake, Zor will always, and I repeat, always, be dear to my heart and my family's heart. It's been an absolute honor and privilege to serve here, to be your pastor for the last 10 years. God did the impossible with this little insignificant Zor. If you actually look in the Hebrew, that's what Zor means, is that it's a safe, small, safe, insignificant place. That God has done many significant things. I've not talked enough about all the wonderful things God has done here, but I need you to know He has. I know some of you haven't been here as long, haven't seen all of it. It's been great. Many souls were saved in Jesus Christ, including two of my own daughters. Many lives and families have been impacted for and transformed by Jesus Christ. The work that God has done will live on for eternity. And I believe that will continue here and in many other places throughout this world and in many homes because of this church. And I'm grateful for that. I thank God and I thank you for letting me be a part of that. That's why. And I understand this is heavy and unexpected and heavy for many of you. And you will likely feel one of three emotions. Sad, mad, or glad. And it's okay. whichever one you feel, And it's okay if it changes, and it's okay if it's a mixture of all three or two of them. Don't feel bad about how you feel. And it's okay if you need to express that to me. Whatever it is. It truly is. I understand that. All right, please know that. There's a few things I want you to know, and this is important. I wrote out, I think, four. I already said it once, and I already forget. No, four. Number one, I'm not leaving in anger or frustration with the church or anyone in the church. I can say that truthfully. I know many of you know there were some tough relational issues that we've dealt with in the past 2 years. Those have really cooled off, and what is here is special and good, and I know that, and there's no frustration with the church at all. This is nobody's fault in the church, so don't start to think that or spread that rumor. Right. Number two, I and the family are well, and I say that like it's been difficult, but I believe I'm in a good place spiritually with God. My marriage with Dreema is well. The kids are well and absolutely love this church and love you as we do. We're not planning on cutting off any relationships. Please know that as well. Like we're not planning to relocate. I will, at the end of July, no longer be your pastor, but we can certainly remain friends, and you can certainly reach out to us. And don't feel like you can't. Number three, I'm not leaving for another church or ministry. Again, this was not pre-planned for many months, or we've been holding on to it. We told the leadership Tuesday and have just prepared for this recently. I never thought I would leave Zor, truthfully. And I never thought I would leave Zor unless God clearly called me somewhere else. At this time, I'll not be serving at another church. I'm not leaving here for another church. I still feel called in the ministry. I plan to ask God for what He wants the family and I to do, and we'll be seeking Him for direction. Okay. We won't be attending here or any other local church for a while. That's not because we don't want to see you. Please say that. It's because I don't want to disrupt what God will be doing here at Zor. And I want people to follow Jesus and not me or us. I want good for Zor. I love Zor. I always have and always will. Again, we're not planning on moving away. Number four, and this is important because I know this is heavy. I know emotions come. You have instant emotions and then maybe they change in a day or two. I don't believe God is done with Zor. If you're feeling discouraged, don't be too quick to make a judgment and say, well, God wants me to leave. Don't say that. There's something special here. Right. With this news, I know some of you will feel hopeless. Don't. I'm not leaving because I don't believe God's hand is on Zor. I know the emotions have been heavy lately, but that doesn't mean that God's hand's not on it. I've seen God work and challenge and bring out sin and help people grow through the trial, which He often does. And that's been with me as well. I do believe God has made it clear that He wants someone else to lead Zor forward with the plans that He has for this church. And I'm confident that He will. And I get the feelings. When I first came here, there were a lot of people that thought Zor was hopeless and a lost cause. We wouldn't know what to do with as many people that are sitting here now, truthfully. But God didn't, nor did many of those people that were here, including the Parks and including Don Combs and Brian and Dana and their parents. Those first few, and we've seen Zor grow, and we've seen what God has done there. And I believe God loves, I believe in a God who loves to do things he gets credit for, and I believe he will. I believe in Zor, always have, and I still do. I need you to know those things. I want to address a couple questions that I'm sure are on your mind as well, just really two of them. Who will the next pastor be? I don't know, but God does. He already knows, and I take confidence in that. And I need you to as well. He knows. So what's next or what happens next? The Leadership Council will form a pastor search committee or team. It'll be within this church. Nathan Artell, he's the association leader, will be able to assist with that if and when needed. But that's this church is autonomous. It's independent. You all will make the decision on who. It'll be your choice. How long will that take? I have no idea. It could be as short as a month. It could be quite a bit longer. I really don't know. The most important part will be getting the right man and family here that will, and most importantly, preach and teach God's Word and lead this church by the Word of God and will love you and care for you and lead with as much passion and energy and belief as I've had for the last 10 years. Again, I want you to know the church, you will make the final decision. You will vote as a church on the next pastor here. I know this is heavy news. Dylan was going to preach this morning. I didn't want to put it on him. But God's given me a message that I want to deliver to you this morning, but I want to pray. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the church. If you'll bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, again, you are a sovereign God. Nothing happens that is unexpected to you. You know the past, present, and the future. It's in your hands. Father, and you love this church. You love your local church. It's your bride. You gave your life for her to present her as holy, without blemish, sanctified. Lord, and I know that you will continue to do that. It's humbling to know that that it's my time to step away. But this is your church. It's always been your church. I've always been a temporary under-shepherd of the great shepherd. And you will do your work here as you have through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray for that. Lord, I know this news is heavy and it's for many unexpected. And I pray that you comfort them with the comfort of your Holy Spirit, which your word talks about. Lord, that you fill them with hope. Don't let them be given to discouragement. Because the power, the work has always been in you, not in me or anyone else. Lord, and I believe in what you can and will do through your people. Father, help them to trust you in this moment. And help me to speak in a way that honors you and glorifies you. Father, I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, I'll say God's honest truth. We decided, God put on my heart last year, 2025, to preach through 1 John at some time. And we laid this out in the beginning of March, and I had no idea or plans at all that I'd be making this announcement. But it's been a blessing to be in a book that Jesus' disciple wrote as he was isolated on an island, and as he was in old age, and he was writing to the churches to reassure them. And we looked through 1 John and said, what's that message? What is John trying to get across? And he wants us to know and have confidence in Jesus and in our faith. We titled this series, Assured Confidence in Uncertain Times. I'm sorry that I know this is bringing more uncertainty, but there's one that you never have to be uncertain about, and that is God Himself. When I started this this series, I said, if you're discouraged, this letter is for you. I want to remind you of that now. I want to remind you when we started 1 John, and I hope that you'll continue with us, we said, look to Christ, not yourself. And right now, look to Christ, not yourself, not to me, not to others. Look to Christ, who He is and what He's done and how good He is. He's calling for direction over perfection, right? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Don't let this discourage you and knock you off course in your path in the faith. It's never been dependent upon me or anyone else here. It is God who's doing the work in you and through you and will continue to do that. And you can know, you can have confidence. Again, in this little letter, the five chapters, John writes the word know 40 different times over and over and over again, that you can know and you can have confidence in God and what He is doing and will do. With that, this morning I'm going to hop around a little bit, but I want to be in Proverbs as the main passage, Proverbs chapter 16, if you'll turn there with me. I've titled this message, The Lord Establishes Our Steps. God put it on my heart. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. God's word says this, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Or some translations will say the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The New Living Translation will say, we make plans, God determines our steps. Okay. We make plans, but God determines our steps. That's always true, it's always been true, it always will be true. I want to look at that and just look at three main points. First, we make plans. It's good to plan. It's good to plan things out and try to do things. Plans are good, unless they're plans for evil. Proverbs says that's not good. But if you're planning to do good, it is good. I can tell you I've made a lot of plans when I've been here at Zor. And I've gotten to see so many things that have happened that God has blessed and that God has established my steps and our steps. And it's been glorious and good. But sometimes God does what I didn't expect or think would happen and changes things. Because we can make all the plans we want, it's ultimately God who determines or establishes our steps. This church belongs to Christ, not to the pastor, not to anyone here. It's His church. It always has been, always will be. We're just here. We were created and made for Him and by Him. The air that we breathe is His. The body that we use to breathe that air is also His. It is always His. He directs us and His plans come about, and that's actually a very good thing. If things happen the way that we would want them, it would be for selfish reasons and it would turn out bad. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do and why God directs us and changes our circumstances, but God always does, and we can learn to have faith in Him. He will establish our steps whether we want Him to or not. It's because He's God and we're not. But here's the good thing, is that we know that He's a good God and He establishes our steps for good. And we can hold on to that. I can honestly tell you that some of God's greatest gifts are circumstances that have come into my life that I would have never asked for. And if you've been walking with Christ any length of time in your life, you know that to be true. Now, there's been times in your life where you did not want that to come about, but it challenged you. It caused you to hold on to God. It caused you to grow closer to Him. It caused you to grow in your faith, to learn to help others, to be less selfish, whatever it might be. I can say that through all of my time, the good times and the trials here at Zohar, God has done that even in this moment. And that's a good thing. God knows best. And with that, because we make plans, because He establishes our steps, we need to learn to trust Him. We trust God with our next step. I'm asking you to trust God for the next step here at Zohar as well, for the next step for you. Again, we don't have a choice in that, but we have a good God that we can indeed trust. We learn from those in Scripture. We learn from those in our life. We learn from our own circumstances. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 31. We know that David wrote this psalm. We don't know exactly what time period it was in his life. We know it was a difficult time period where people were trying to kill him. But that happened so often in his life, we're not sure which time period this was. Okay? He was constantly in many trials, and his circumstances were often challenging. And he was open to God, he communicated to God, but he trusted God in it and through it. In the middle of this psalm, in Psalm 31, starting in verse 14, he says this: even though his life is being sought after, even though he's in a deep trial, he says in verse 14, "But I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hand." Or some translations will say, "My future is in Your hand." He said, "I trust You. You are my God. I can trust You." He had such confidence in God from those little moments when he was alone in a field and faced an enemy that was much bigger and stronger than him, whether lions, whether bears, that gave him the confidence, not in himself. He put his confidence in God that allowed him to face a giant named Goliath that everybody else was terrified. He grew in such confidence in God that even when his very own king, when he was serving the king and fighting the king's battles, wanted him dead and was after him, and he had the opportunity to take revenge into his own hands and slay the king, and he would be king, and it would all be over. He said, "I trust this moment into Your hands, God. I will not take revenge in my own hands. Into Your hands I commit my spirit." That's what he says in verse 5. Look at verse 5. "Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." He trusted God. And he ended this psalm telling us to do the very same thing. Look at verse 24 of Psalm 31. It says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." When do we wait for the Lord? When our circumstances aren't what we want them to be. And we say, God, will you do something? Will you change something? Will you take this away? And we're waiting on God. David's saying, be strong, take courage. You have a God worth waiting for. You can be confident while you're waiting, he is working. A waiting time period is not a wasted time period. While you're waiting, God is working. Take courage, take heart, be strong. The longer that you follow God, the more that you realize that is to be true. Sam did such a great job of that in 1 John. If you remember 1 John chapter 2, it was talking about these little children and young men and fathers, the older men. And he said, and 1 John writes it, that the little children know God. But the fathers, they know him who is from the beginning. Right? When you've been walking, you've seen that you can trust God. You know him who's from the beginning. God doesn't change. He's always faithful. He always will be faithful. And you can trust him. And the more that you know him, you can trust him. And I pray that you can know that now. And I pray that if you are one who says, I have that faith in God, you'll help anyone around you who might be struggling with that. He's worthy to be trusted. He's a good God, and he wants good for you. And his plans will prevail. His plans are good. His plans are not our plans. And I praise God for that. But often they're not what we want, but they're exactly what we need and what will be good for this world. With that, I can have confidence, not in myself. And I don't want you to have confidence or discouragement in me. I want you to have confidence in God. That's my hope today. I want to keep this shorter as well, but I do want to leave you with some final encouragement. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul talking to the church of Philippi, a church that's very dear to his heart, a church that he's had the opportunity to work with, to partner with, and is now away from. And this is part of his introduction and thanksgiving and prayer for this church and the people. And I think it's appropriate for me now. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Paul said this to the church of Philippi, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's his work. It's always been his work. Everything that has happened here that's been good has been him. I've just been able to partner in it, to participate in it, along with you. And I'm grateful for that. And even though we might not be here at the same church working together, I'm thankful that we'll still be working together for the gospel. And I know that if it's God who began that work in you, he will continue to do that work. It's his word that has changed you and impacted you. It's his Holy Spirit working in you that has been transforming you. And by his power and his word, that will continue. With that, there's an important reminder that it's how important we have to or how what a priority God's word must be for this church now and always. In Acts chapter 20, I know I'm hopping around. I'm testing your Bible placement this morning. But in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. He's talking to the congregation and the elders, and he's commissioning them, and he doesn't know if we'll see him again. Neither of us do, but again, I'm not planning to disappear. But he left this, which I think is so appropriate. Verse 32, chapter 20, verse 32. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to bring you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Again, I want to remind you, I know that there's been challenging times here at Zor. I know and believe that we're in a rebuilding and rebirth and things are happening, and I believe that's starting to happen and is good. And I believe it is God's word that will build up. And I believe it is God's word that will do a work here that will be good. That will continue. And it is so important that you look for someone who will preach and teach God's word faithfully and diligently, that will lead with God's word, and that you yourselves will get into God's word. It's his word that is powerful. It's his word that brings salvation. It's his word that changes us, that teaches us, that gives us the truth, that sets us free. It's his word that teaches us how do we do relationships and marriage. It's his word that teaches us how do we love and how do we live by the fruit of the Spirit, not by the flesh. It's his word that changes us. Every good thing that has happened here in the last 10 years has been by the power of his word. And his Holy Spirit working through that. I pray that God's word takes hold and continues to change you and others in this community. And I pray that God does a work here that is far greater than anything I've seen or experienced in the last 10 years. And I pray that God gets the glory for that and people remember that it's the power of his word. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want his name to be praised and glorified. We're here to know Jesus and make Jesus known. And I pray that that never changes. Dive into his word. I know this is not a light service, but I can tell you, in the most difficult time in my life, when I was lost and felt hopeless and didn't understand, I picked up. I picked up my dad's Bible. I didn't know where to turn because I wasn't reading the Bible like I should have. But I opened in the front cover. It had this one verse, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. And I don't feel like I know anything, and I need some wisdom. And I started reading his word, and it changed everything. The power of his word changed my life. And I've seen it change countless lives thereafter. Where the Holy Spirit works and people read God's word and God's word grips them and sets them free, saving them from sin and changing them and changing how they live their life. There's nothing better. There's nothing greater. And we're so easily distracted. Give time, give attention to God's word. And I pray that his word flourishes here, and when his word abides forever, and the work that is done within the church lasts for eternity. Don't get distracted. See how great and precious this work is here. Don't be too quick to give up. Ask God what he wants. Seek his word for direction. His word will lead you and guide you. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Trust trust Him. Part of that, if you're here and you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, is saying and understanding that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and God has sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you make the decision to give your life to Jesus. I'm glad I get to announce this as well. I hope it's not going to be just a sorrowful 6 weeks. I hope it's a glorious 6 weeks. I'm excited to send off Dylan and Bethany and commission them to go and serve the Lord down in southern West Virginia and be that church. I'm excited that we're going to have a baptism service here on July 19th at 4 p.m. It's not in your bulletin, so you have to write that down. It will be later. But July 19th at 4 p.m., we're going to have a baptism service here at Zor. I'm super excited about that. And I'm excited to be, I'm sad to be departing, but I'm excited that we're going to be departing and we're going to be attacking the gates of hell like the church is supposed to. And Satan will not prevail. Those gates don't hold open. And I know it's sad, but I hope that we're able to celebrate in that, celebrate Him who saves and brings life and changes us. Stay faithful, church. Know that we love you. And I know I'm not saying goodbye today by any means, but I know it's hard and it's heavy. Don't lose faith. Trust Him. Get in His Word. It's faithful and true. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are a God who directs us, determines and establishes our steps, and changes our circumstances. But because we know You, we can trust You. I don't know exactly what You're doing or why, but I can trust You, and I pray for this church to be able to trust You in this moment. I pray for Your work to continue and to flourish. And I pray that You get all the glory for that, God. That Your name might be made known. I thank You for what You've done. All the precious and wonderful things and the way this that You've worked. I'm grateful for all of it. And I pray that You continue that work, Father, here. Use Your servants. Call Your next under-shepherd. Build Your church and build Your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let us keep working and keep saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. We know, Lord, there will be a day where You will come and all sin will be gone. Every tear and every trial and every pain will be defeated and sin will be no more. We will be out of the presence of sin and into the presence of a holy, glorious, awesome God with our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, to that day we place our hope and our confidence in. And in the meantime, our hope and our confidence is in You. I pray this in Your name. Amen.